Welcome back to it. It is the Shaggy Jenkins Show, the podcast. Of course, today is, well, one of those shows that if it's getting released on time, is going to be coming out on the 22nd anniversary of the terrorist attacks, 9/11, back in 2001. And it's kind of because of those events and recent events on Maui, we kind of got to talk about parallels and what lessons we learned. I don't want to jump into too far of the subject before I introduce myself. Hi, my name is Shaggy. I am a radio broadcaster for about, oh God, I don't know, 20-something years, 28 years. Ooh, coming up on 30 years very soon. But also a guy that lives on Maui and all around, well, curious dude that likes to read a lot. Now, one of the things that I've been talking a lot about is the unfortunate events that have recently happened here on Maui, which are the wildfires that consumed the town of Lahaina and a large swath of the communities of Kula and Olinda and parts of Makawao. And they were just very devastating. On the anniversary of 9/11, I thought I would talk about some parallels. The reason why is because the scope of damage that was done on the attacks back in, September 11th, 2001, ravaged an entire infrastructure, an entire city. It took years and years and years to recover from. And it kind of looks like, when you look at the aftermath of the wildfires here on Maui, that it's going to kind of be the same case. Now, when I say same case, I mean that it's going to take years and years and years to come for the recovery to fully happen. And just like with the 9/11 aftermath, there's a lot of the kind of same concerns and some of the same kind of warnings that we can take from those events 22 years ago and apply them to our situation today. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk about because, you know, just a real quick summary. You kind of know, basically, September 11th, terrorist attacks happened. A lot of people died. In the aftermath of that, though, we learned a couple of lessons. One of those is that we had to enhance our national security. Another one was that we had to increase, you know, counterterrorism efforts. And these were kind of no-brainer things that we didn't really apply before 9/11, but after we did, especially when it came into the areas of the international cooperation, increased airport security and things like that. Long story short, 9/11 gave us a lot of lessons that we've applied and we still apply to this day some 22 years later. Well, there was also the other things that happened in the aftermath of September 11th that would kind of, that's the part that would kind of parallel with what's happening here on Maui. And that is, and you probably, if you are one of those souls that does remember being, you know, alive during that time, you probably remember in the immediate aftermath, one of the big kind of side effects of this devastation, this massive amount of death, was an immediate, almost innate solidarity with everybody. I mean, just it didn't matter where you were in America. You could have been in the Bread Belt, the Bible Belt. You could have been in the Rust Belt. America has a lot of belts, by the way. But it doesn't matter where you were. There was always this just sense of solidarity that was almost, it was very comforting in that aftermath. And the reason why is because a sense of community is something that humans crave. I mean, this is something that's been shown time and time and time again in, well, every study that's done about human behavior. Community is very important. And knowing that the community has your back is one of the things that helped us recover from 9/11. It was that feeling of togetherness, no matter where you were from, no matter what walk of life you were in, all of a sudden you were just like, I know who has my back because I'm going to have their back. And that solidarity is something that we've seen here on Maui. And I mean, I could honestly say that it's like that every single time there's been wildfires, when there's been natural disasters. Maui is one of those communities that you know real quick the level of solidarity of this community. It is above and beyond anything that I've ever witnessed. Now, after 9/11, there was a certain amount of the home team thing. There was the patriotism and the other part. See, that whole 9/11 thing was "Don't let the terrorists win." That slogan that George W. Bush, then president, used to get on television and say a lot. Now, by that, he was trying to encourage Americans, don't kill the economy, go out and buy American, hopefully, but just go out and buy, because the more that you buy, you know, the more that we're beating the terrorists. Now, of course, a lot of people went out and bought flags and things like that, and there was a huge showing, at least on the continent, of this patriotism. But it was also shown when it came to dollars spent, because that was the major push. The Bush administration at that time kind of figured out that when it came to the economy, it would crash if we lost faith in the market. And that's kind of what's happened here on Maui in the immediate aftermath of the wildfires. A lot of our tourism dropped off, of course, because a lot of those tourism were coming in to some of the destroyed sections. And, you know, there was time that you have to rebook flights and things like that. And, of course, it's inconvenient, you know, it's just. But it is one of those things that will eventually kind of correct itself, and the tourism numbers will increase. And that is very important for the economy here, because when it comes to Maui, we are mostly at this time a tourist-based dollar. That means that we depend on this influx of people coming in. And just like in the aftermath of 9/11, we've heard from our mayor, we've heard from our governor, we have heard from a lot of the, celebrities, influencers, and people around Maui say, come to Maui, you know, the west side is closed, but the rest of the island's opened. Please, you know, buy local, support local businesses. And it is kind of that same thing, whereas we kind of depend on people not losing faith in what Maui is and bring their dollars here. Otherwise, the economy as we know it will collapse. Now, also, one of the things that, and this is really kind of not evident to people that aren't from here, is we've had a lot of crossing of lines lately. I know a lot of people assume that when it comes to politics here on Maui, in Hawaii in general, it's just as left and blue as you could possibly be, but that is absolutely not the case. And one of the things that you probably haven't noticed as a non-resident outside is that there has been a lot of kind of a coming together of bipartisanship, which in the current trend of politics, especially on the national scale where everything is so polarized, it is kind of nice to see both sides coming to the table and saying, hey, look, we have a responsibility to fix a common problem, which really is the purpose of all government. But they forget from time to time, and it does seem like that, at least on the national level, we don't see what we see here on Maui, which is a lot of the bipartisan, look, we're just, let's just get the problem fixed, you know, work together however we do. Don't forsake our principles, but, you know, at least find a quick, workable compromise and get things moving forward. And that's something that, you know, 22 years ago in the aftermath of 9/11, we saw a lot. both in local and state and even federal government levels. And we're seeing a repeat of that now here on Maui. And you probably remember this. And this is the part that I've already done one podcast about. And I'm going to reiterate this point can you do a highlighter pen vocally? Is there an all caps setting? Do I scream here? But this is one of those things that I talked about a lot before. But in the aftermath of 9/11, and more so than we had ever done in the past, first responders became superheroes. A heroic status, at least. You know, the first responders, especially who had risked their lives in New York City, the ones that had lost fellow officers, fellow firefighters. These guys, for the first time, were elevated, at least in social awareness of their hero status. And the bravery and everything was kind of emblematic of that whole resilience and strength of the American people. That has happened once again, because I think I explained this on the other podcast. There's only about 100 firefighters here. And if you know the sheer acreage, the size, the speed, and the intensity of these fires, these guys really put in the hours. And the community has came out not only just, in support of each other through organizations, donations, and things like that. But they've come out in a huge way as far as our first responders. Now, it's kind of weird in the aftermath that Maui is changing its ambulance service from AMR to a Denmark-based service called Flock, I think is how you pronounce it. But that's a completely different cast to come. And also the thing that you saw in the aftermath of 9/11, you're seeing again, is volunteerism and donations. I think I kind of glossed over this before, but Maui, in a big way, you see, and this is kind of a nice problem to have. Most of the time, when an organization here, a civic group, even a church group, a county group, whatever entity, they'll go on either social media or through, I do have a radio show that I'll announce these things through, and other people do as well. These people, when asked to volunteer, show up in overwhelming numbers from time to time. I mean, we've had instances where, like, hey, I need 50 people, 200 show up. I mean, it's overwhelming, the amount of volunteerism and donations. Anytime the call is put out for an item, you will usually see some local individual roll up with a pickup truck full of that item almost instantaneously. It's amazing. And these are the kind of real good lessons and things that we saw in the aftermath of 9/11 and that we're seeing here on Maui. However, we kind of have to look at some of the bad aspects. Okay, just real quick, I mean, I've been painting a very rosy picture so far, but I do have to go into some of the bad aspects. Now, if you were alive during the time in the aftermath of 9/11 and you were old enough to have any sort of awareness of what was happening, especially on the evening news, you probably remember that there was a rise of anti-Muslim sentiment right immediately in the aftermath of 9/11. Like for me, I was in North Carolina, and unfortunately, this rise of anti-Muslim sentiment amounted to people that were not even Muslim, just because they were a little brown of skin, getting attacked in a racially hate crime sort of way. Now, you have to thank 9/11 for also that kind of a negativity coming to light, because here, too, on Maui, there is kind of the and you notice this mostly through the social media and sometimes through news. But there is kind of a battle between the rich developers versus the local families that would just like to reestablish their homes in the devastated areas. And this kind of haves versus have-nots is almost the same as the anti-Muslim sentiment, anti-Muslim sentiment, sorry, after 9/11. It is almost along racial lines, but it is definitely kind of one of those, like, it's an us versus them scenario when it comes to the recovery and when it comes to, you know, the survival period that Maui finds it in right now. And you know, that's led to a lot of debates over things like what kind of history are we going to restore to the historic town of Lahaina. There's kind of the colonized Lahaina and the non-colonized Lahaina, and there's definitely a call to go more non-colonized when it comes to restoring this this kind of jewel that Maui had. But also, as long as we're talking about negativity, and this is one of the things that you can kind of thank 9/11 for. We've seen a very big increase of conspiracy theories. Now, remember how just a few moments ago I said that it's kind of this have versus have-nots thing, and that is where these conspiratorial theories kind of fuel that fight. We've seen everything from it was Jeff Bezos and Oprah Winfrey burning down their island so that they can snatch up more land. This was all of a plot to get rid of some buildings so that they could put in bigger hotels. I mean, and those are, I want to say those are the saner conspiratorial theories. I mean, it does go pretty insane. Like, I had somebody say that this was all kind of a staging area for a bigger disaster that was going to help wipe out Hawaiians, which I was, wow. That one's a reach. Space lasers, I think I've covered those before. That was also a reach. The thing is, though, is that 9/11 kind of invented the trust no one conspiratorial age. Remember, that was the time when the internet was just starting to become prevalent. Social media wouldn't come along until, you know, about 2003 and 2006, when it really started to kick off. And that's when conspiracy theories around 9/11 started to find a wider and wider audience. Now, that infrastructure that was set up in 9/11 for these conspiratorial theories to spread like wild, I'm not going to say that term. For these 9/11 theories to spread like a cancer that they are, these conspiratorial theories, the infrastructure to do that, the internet and social media, has advanced greatly. So when it comes to the conspiratorial theories and how quickly they have spread about the events of Maui, you know, the thousands of people under martial law and the FEMA taking over, and there's so much. There's so much that is came out of the conspiratorial camp. But you can thank 9/11 for that. 9/11 actually birthed the modern conspiratorial age that we find ourselves in. And before that, it was kind of, reserved for the dark corners of the internet. You had to kind of know the website to go to and things like that. But 9/11 brought up that instant communication of, hey, I believe. And all of a sudden, you've got thousands of people saying, well, what about? And that's where we find ourselves a little bit now on Maui, with the conspiratorial theories. And those have long-term, you know, damaging effects, which will be something that I'll have to cover later. But when it comes to the farthest reaching lesson that 9/11 taught us, and I I said this about 10 or so minutes ago when we were talking about first responders. When it comes to the farthest reaching lesson of 9/11, the one thing that we do have to remember is that long-term going forward, that whole awareness that came from the immediacy of the tragedy of 9/11, which we're dealing with the immediacy of the tragedy of the wildfires here on Maui, that lesson should have been to keep an eye on your first responders. As years and years go by, the first responders in 9/11, of course, came down with various forms of cancer and all kinds of health ailments. A lot of them died before the government actually finally approved a fund to take care of their health. Now, as a nation, we had elevated these guys to heroic status, but on a federal level, we did absolutely squat to actually take care of their health. And that is the lesson that I think is going to be the longest one that we should really kind of think about first here on Maui, because we had a lot of firemen, a lot of first responders, a lot of police, just a lot of those emergency type people that jumped in the second that the need was there. And because of all of the debris, all of the airborne particles and stuff that can come off of burning buildings, especially old historical buildings, which God knows what kind of stuff they were made out of, these first responders are going to have health problems. And if 9/11 taught us anything, it's that when it comes to the first responders, the first lesson that we should have learned is take care of those who took care of us. And I'm hoping that that's what happens here in Maui. Because like I said, there's a lot of parallels between 9/11 and the Maui wildfires as far as the recovery to come. And I hope a part of that recovery is taking care of those first responders long term. Because if we're going to call them heroes, we need to treat them like that. If you like the show, subscribe, throw me a like, and I'll see you next time.